All right. Here we are, worldwide live on BBS Radio. Thank you so much, BBS. I also want to say a special thanks to David Masti. Thank you so much for all the work you're doing in the background for us. I will mute the lines. I will also turn the entry and exit signs off. And Wynn, please take the mic.
Hey, I'm not ready. Terry, are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be. Good morning, everybody.
Yeah, I didn't mute the line. So.
They're not going to answer. They're answering silently. We can't hear them.
Feel the energy.
All right. Let's see. What are we? We didn't start the recorder yet, did we?
Correct. Is Jim going to be here? Do you know?
He said he was. No, Jim right. McCarty.
Oh.
He said he was going to come on. Because Carla was not going to be as well. You know, we did.
You don't sound clear, Wynn.
I don't sound clear?
It's doable, Terry, but it's
hello.
Be better.
Terry, do I sound clear to you?
No.
Okay.
I'm muffled.
Do I sound better now?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I believe I hear an echo. Do you have two lines up?
I just shut the other line down.
Okay.
I'm getting smart. I called on both phones. So that way, nothing could faze me or us.
It's still not up, Wynn.
It's what?
No.
Was that high?
Yes, it's not optimum, but it's okay.
All right. Well, usually my other phone is better. Let me just try once again to make sure it's not good. Hang on. This is
good
still
morning,
not good, right?
Say it again,
better.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Now, this was the first phone that you said wasn't good.
But now you have to mute your other line because you have an echo. The Yumi needs to be muted.
Okay, we're muted.
Oh, we're perfect. Hallelujah.
Are we good now? I'm clear?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it was, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows how these things work when we're dealing with electricity?
Recording.
This conference is being recorded.
We are recording. We are now in silence. All right. I think I'll start with a song. Here we go. This is one of my old songs.
Everything you do. Everything you see, everything you see, everything you do is part of you. We are sailing on spaceship Earth, reaching for the sun, finding the freedom of the many to the one. Like the angel of the morning and the devil in the night, we're going nowhere special at the speed of light. Everything you touch,
everything you touch
becomes a part of you,
becomes a part of you.
Everything you touch, everything you see,
everything you see,
everything you do is part of you. Everything you touch,
everything you touch
becomes a part of you,
becomes a part of you.
Everything you touch becomes a part of you.
I was thinking today, you know, all of us who are coming into these calls are involved on some level in an experiment. And it's an experiment because every one of you has your own totally unique way of integrating what happens on these calls into your life. And including me, including Terry, including Hives, we are all, that's a universal truth, we're getting something new and different that most people are never exposed to. And then the first thing is to say, is this real? And the next thing is to say, what happens if I keep listening? And then the next thing is, what do I do with all of this? As I've learned, and probably you have learned, having a connection with these sources, first thing is it's real? Are they real? And are they who they say they are? And if they are, what does that mean to me? Because this is not about giving your power up to something that's big or that's wise. It may be about temporarily surrendering your energy voluntarily to this group energy. And every one of you, when this call is over, has to go back to your life and has the challenge of, what do I do? How do I make this empowering? How do I make my life shift? How do I have more of what I want? How do I become happier? How do I become more benefit to the people around me? And suddenly, all of this stuff is provoked, which are major challenges that each of us has to solve in a very individual way. And I thought, I was thinking before this call, I was thinking that I would share, maybe Terry would share, some of the things we've gone through. And I was hoping Jim was here, going to be here. Jim, are you there? Jim McCarty?
I just checked. No, okay. He's not here. You want me to give him a call?
Well, I'm sure he knows about the call. Carl has the number, so I don't think we should encourage him until he comes. Jim and I did a really, really great session 7 on the raw material. And, you know, it was actually the first time that Jim and I really interfaced. And it was a little scary for me. I said, I'm really comfortable with Carla. And, you know, I've said hello to Jim many times, but we've never talked. And I wasn't sure how he connected with the fact that his wife was, you know, coming into our calls all the time. And yesterday he did session 7 because Carla wasn't available. And, you know, I had a little anxiety about it. And it went really, really well. I know it did. I know people really liked it. And it was different than Carla. But it was powerful. And it was actually a good change of pace. And it was, you know, on the Love One Made Simple series. If you guys haven't gotten it, one of the things is we give out so much output of material. We give so much for free. When we have something that we even sell for a little bit, it's like, you know, it's easy to say, well, what do I need that for? And you may not need it, okay? The thing about it is that when we do events that we charge something for, it creates a different energy. This is what I've learned. And the reason it creates a different energy is because people are reaching back. And when people reach back, and they pay something, even if it's a little bit, it creates a higher, I can't explain it. Sorry to put it into words. It usually creates a different kind of energy where the energy sustains in a different way. For example, a few weeks ago, we did an event with Terry channeling and people asking questions, a 3-hour event. And Terry wouldn't normally feel comfortable channeling for 3 hours answering questions. But on that call, I thought the energy sustained extremely well. Wouldn't you say so, Terry? Terry, are you unmuted?
Yeah, I'm there. I was surprised.
Yeah, and sometimes when we're on a public call like these and we do even a short channeling, Terry goes to sleep for the rest of the day. And because we really do have a group energy. We really do, which means we are in each other's fields. And sometimes you can feel really good at the end of a call. And I usually feel good. I mean, because I'm quick at processing things. I suppose that's why I'm good at this job. But Terry can feel really tired at the end of a call when there's a lot of channeling on it. Because we are in your space. We are one. We are connected. Now, we're not glom together. When the call ends, we go our separate ways, except there's a certain residual. And it's like some of you are working out really intense, heavy things, and then during the call, you let go of it, and then where does it end up? It ends up here. And it's okay, because that's part of the job. And others of you that are on the call are helping to hold for the people that are carrying heavy stuff. And next time we have a big rush of new people on the call, all of you who are learning to hold are going to be helping to hold for the new people. Because as you can see, this is we could call it a processing of energies. Energies come together. And the majority of stuff goes up to the higher realms. And that's one of the reasons we can keep doing it, because as I feel it, they're handling a lot of the energy that gets released on the call. And in observing the process, and I used to say all the time, this is an experiment. This is an experiment. Because I didn't quite know what to do or how to do it. And I had to learn it by continually doing it. And I see the results by continually doing it. And then I would get better. But otherwise, it's like, if I do this, what will happen? If we do this, what will happen? And so it's a constant state of learning and doing. And, you know, I wish that I could have a channeling and they could tell me, when, do this, do that. But they don't do that. They don't usually do that. Sometimes they'll make a recommendation. But by and large, we here on this planet are on our own and with the help of the higher realms. But what we do here, we have to do in our own little laboratory of our life. We have to take all of this and in some way, shape, form, manner, we have to apply it to ourselves. I don't mean we have to, but there's the opportunity to apply it to our life and consider your own life an experiment, because you have to see what works, what doesn't work. Wynn said this, I'll try that. And then when something clicks, you'll see a shift. Something will change. And then you'll know that it works. And then when you apply something and know that it works, you can be a teacher for other people at that point. It'll come up that you've done something that you know works, and there'll be opportunities to share it with other people that you can see what they're going through. And I mean, that's part of what I'm doing, what I'm talking here, is I'm sharing things that I have learned that worked for me, because I've had to do a lot of work on myself this life. And there were long, long periods where I felt so stuck that I thought I'd never get out of it. And, you know, day in, day out, day in, day out. So I understand that feeling of stuckness. And I understand that some of you feel that you've been going through something for a long time, every day, for a good portion of your life, and suddenly somebody says, maybe you don't have to go through that anymore. Well, how do you move from where you are to not going through it? Suppose you're coming on these lines, and you feel the energy on the line, and you feel a sense of love on the line, and you go back to your life, and there you are in those patterns. Now, for some people, just being on the line starts to change the pattern. And for other people, it takes more. And that there needs to be more application of something. But what? But what are you going to do to make the pattern change? Well, I was going to address a couple of those things that maybe might help some of you who are going through that. And I can tell you that some of the things that I've worked on in myself and I've watched and recommended to other people, and I know they work. Now, one thing I say may not work for you, and another thing might. And some of you might have things to say, this worked for me. Well, the very first thing in terms of changing something, making something shift, and I shouldn't even say changing something because it creates the wrong mental image, because we're dealing with things we can't change through our willpower. It's like when I say changing something, it sounds like, well, I could do this and it would make a difference. Well, it might, but the changes that you really want go beyond willpower, go beyond what you can impose on yourself. You can do certain things with willpower. You can. For example, there are times when I get really angry. And when I get really angry, and somebody, sometimes I can be really impatient. And I blow my stack. And then I see when I do that, how it impacts the other person and how it can shake up their vibrational field. And then, of course, I read in Carla Ruckert's material how when Jesus was a young man, he got really angry, and the person he got angry with ended up dying because they were so shook up because the anger was so powerful. And I said, geez, I hope I never get that angry. But then I said to myself, okay, I can get really angry. And I can't sometimes help that. But I can stop putting it out into the world. I can bite my tongue. I can leave the room. I can do that before I throw a fit and let myself cool down and deal with the issue in a different way. So it's not like I can stop the anger. Now, if I, you know, eventually, I mean, the anger can subside, but that's a different process. The first thing is monitoring what you put out into the world. And don't put out things that hurt other people. Even when you feel the energy, even when you feel certain energies inside yourself, bite your tongue and don't put them out. Now, does that mean there's never a place for anger? No, there is a place. There is a time when I think it might be appropriate to put anger out. And I would say, like, a place, for example, might be where you have someone in your life that constantly encroaches on your boundaries, okay? And you've told them about it a number of times, and they keep doing it. And perhaps anger is an appropriate response there. And this is for you to decide. But because anger is kind of a punishment energy, whether you realize it or not, and it does create hurt for other people. And so there's an aspect where it may be appropriate to do that when someone is violating your boundaries, when someone is violating your free will, when someone is constantly taking advantage of you and you don't know how to stop it, when someone is psychically siphoning your energy, and you don't want them to, then anger might be an appropriate response. And of course, you can weigh this out. And I find if I ever display anger, usually, not always, but usually, I've weighed it out very carefully to say to myself, this is appropriate here. So the first thing is be very careful what you put out into the world. And if you are trying to clear your karmic patterns, if that's your goal, then if this, now this is a big thing to take in. If you create something in someone else, since they're you, you're creating it in yourself. So therefore, if you create anger and you hurt somebody through your anger, and they now are carrying that hurt, you've become responsible for their hurt. And now you have a little karmic interaction where you might be forced to hang around to help free them from the hurt you've created. You see how that works? It's like we are in a big soup here. And it may not be obvious, but, I mean, what did Jesus say? Jesus was very smart. I quote Jesus not because I'm a typical Christian, but because he had so many very profound, deep things he said in very simple ways. And even when I was younger and I read those things, I said, I know this. I know this on an intuitive level. And what I just said, as you do it to these, you do it to me. I.e., if Jesus represented the idea of oneness of consciousness, then as you do it to the smallest of these, you do it to me. If he represented that, then he was saying what I just said, that if you create hurt in another person and you do it in a way, see, it's complicated. You can't just make a rule because I have to like clarify that. If you create hurt for someone, then that hurt becomes part of your karmic thing to clear. Now, sometimes people, this is where it gets tricky here. So sometimes people create hurt for themselves, and you can do anything and they'll be hurt because they're putting that out and they're creating it. And that's different because even though you may trigger their hurt was always there. And you're triggering it doesn't mean you're responsible for it. It doesn't mean you're getting karma for it. It's where you do something like blow your stack and somebody shrivels and, you know, gets a physical reaction, even gets nauseous, you know, their heart rate goes up. Yes, you're responsible in that case. But if somebody is got all this latent hurt inside of them, and the smallest of things can bring it up, then in that case, you're more catalyzing someone rather than the cause of it. Well, this is all stuff you have to figure out in your life because you can't follow a rule to say, don't do this, do that, but these are some of the options in terms of how do you change your life? One of the first rules of spirit, and this is an important one, really important, is acceptance. The fastest way to grow, the first step to take, if you want to grow and move, is acceptance, which means everything happens around you, and you're neutral, no matter what it is. And you can test yourself. You can look at what pushes your buttons. Because if your buttons are being pushed, It means you're not accepting. And it's like you can still deal with situations in a masterful way without getting your buttons pushed. And if somebody is pushing your buttons, if you are reacting, it means that whatever they're doing, part of what they're doing is part of what you're doing. Even if it's not so, maybe it's more blatant in the other person. Maybe it's new under the surface in you. If it wasn't inside you, it wouldn't push your buttons. So learning how to observe yourself really carefully and accept, let things blow through you. It doesn't. Acceptance does not mean letting people walk over you, letting yourself be abused. It means not allowing other people to push your buttons. It means observing where your buttons are getting pushed and realize that the other person isn't doing it despite how it looks because it's inside you, and assuming full responsibility for everything that goes wrong with you and inside you. And as you start to do that to yourself, patterns start to change. You start to release things. And maybe it's hard at first. Maybe you won't be neutral. You'll think, I should be neutral. Or, you know, observe the fact that you're not neutral. Observe each step of the way. Accept each step of the way. And constantly work it, because that very act of applying acceptance keeps moving the energy forward, and eventually you'll get the goal. And the goal is neutrality. It's the ability to have neutrality around whatever happens around you. And once you've learned to have neutrality, you're now starting to be a master, because you can be in any circumstance. People can be upset. People can be yelling at each other. People can be doing all this stuff. And you'll just say, uh-huh, next. And you don't react inside of yourself. And each of you can apply that and work it. And if you do it, and you think of it as an experiment, you'll start to see things shift. And the headline today was grounding. How do you ground? What is grounding? One of the beautiful things about spirit is you don't need anything to tap into the higher realms of spirit. You just become present, neutral. Neutrality is actually a really good place to come into these calls, because then that's what I do. I come into the call. If you notice, at the beginning of the call, and this was scary at first, I said, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And I said, I just go into neutral. And then I've learned from doing this that if I come into this call from a neutral place, the call creates itself. And when the call creates itself, it brings me into a higher, all of us, into a higher connection with the now. And that's the goal, to connect with the now, to connect with the moment, to connect with the eternal now, to connect with the divine in the now, to connect with the Elohim in the now, to connect with the Ra in the now, to connect with all those positive energies in the universe that are always there waiting for us to stop all of our agendas, all of our stuff, to quiet down so they can flow in, and that we can feel them. And when we do, there's a sense of love that comes. There's a sense of peace. There's a sense of connectedness. And many of you on these lines have learned to feel that on these calls. And I've learned to feel it. I mean, it surprised me how it worked. That was part of my experiment, to experience how those energies work, how they flow, how if I can stay neutral always, never misses a beat, that it happens. Terry is the same way. And when she channels, you know, she becomes centered and neutral, and suddenly their voices start speaking through her. And if you can imagine yourself, putting yourself in this situation, here I am, we have hundreds of people listening. I show up and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I would say, on every call, just before the call, there's this moment of fear that says to me, what if it doesn't happen? What if I'm in front of everybody and I start bumbling and I don't know what to say? But it never happens. It always comes. So I have learned that this neutrality really works, at least on these calls. And it works in a lot of other ways as well. Being neutral allows you to feel where you are, to feel the energies around you, to feel the people around you. And as you do that, you then learn to know what you're connected to and how to connect. And because you can read the situation, you can read the environment, and you know who you can trust and who you can't trust and who it's safe to connect with and who it isn't safe. But prior to that, you're busy making mistakes. You're having the wrong, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, having the wrong partners, the wrong girlfriends, and you're attracted, and then you find out what looked like a bouquet of flowers was a can of worms. So this is part of your training in this realm, learning the discernment. Because for many of us, it is important to connect with things outside of ourselves. We talked about in my mailing this morning the idea of grounding, and I was thinking how hard that can be, even though it sounds so easy. What is grounding? Well, you know, we have seven chakras. We've talked about seven energy centers. Most of you are probably familiar with that idea. We talk about it enough. And it goes from the base of your spine to the top of your head. And some people call it kundalini. That's the Indian view. There's an energy that goes up your spine, up the top of your head. And when we do our meditation on Sunday, when we do our visualization, I would say that many of you are feeling those energies getting activated, those seven chakras, or some of them getting activated. And even moving outside of your body, outside of your chakra system, into a greater universe expanse. And you go back to your life and you're faced with keeping your chakras in balance. And it's easy, to some extent easy, to connect to the higher realms because you don't need anything physical to do that. You can just move into a quiet place. Light a candle and say, okay, we're ready. You can do this yourself. You can bring in the energies. You can send love light to the people you care about, as we spoke about last week. You can do all of that. You can do that in your car. You can do that sleeping in your car. You can do that anywhere, because the higher realms are always there to be connected to. But that's not grounding, okay? What is grounding? Grounding is getting the energy moving through the lower chakras and into the earth. Grounding is activating your own body. So how do you do that? You can't just say, we do connect with the earth on our Sunday calls, and many of you feel that. But when you go back to your life, when you're in your life, how do you ground? Well, grounding, if you take the word ground, ground is earth, isn't it? Ground. It's dirt. It's what's underneath your feet. It's like, how do you ground to what's underneath you? Well, the first thing is, you need a house. You need a roof. Most of you have that, one way or another. Or an RV. You need things in the world that you can flow your energy into. Let me say that again. You need things in the world that you can flow your energy into. And with the higher aspects, you don't need things in the world to connect with the higher chakras, because you're connecting with things that are not in the world. But grounding requires things in the world. You know, the fact that we can do this on Sunday and that we can create this energy on these calls is because we are all in the world and we are all connecting with each other, and we are connecting our energies with each other. And so that's one example of how being in the world and connecting with things in the world creates a certain energy. And that, how do you do this in your life, if you can? Well, so for some of us, this is one of those things that one size doesn't fit all. Everybody has got their own unique answer to this, everyone. So I can't tell you, do this and it'll work. But, for example, for some people, having the right diet makes it work. Eating certain kinds of food helps you. For some people, it's not eating meat. For some people, it is eating meat. For some people, it requires certain sexual release. And that can be with another person or with yourself. And it's like one of the things about sexual release is that, and I never hear people talk about this too much, but when you release sexually, when you have a sexual release, there's another person that might be there, might be or might not. But the truth of the matter is you're releasing into an energy field. So what is the energy field you're releasing into? If you've come to these calls and you've connected to really high energies, it creates an energy field that's really high. What does the opposite sex hold? The opposite sex or the same sex or whatever holds, and not just the body, because if it's just the body, it's just lust. But it holds an energy that's connected to that body. And that energy is different from your energy. It's like a missing piece of a puzzle. And the reason we are attracted to other people in this way is because we learn to expand our energy by association with someone else that has an energy that's in a different place than us. Like a man and a woman will have different energies completely. I never want to say always, but, you know, usually they have different energies. And so they're holding different parts of the hologram. And when they come together sexually, it's in the best of ways, they're exchanging their energy fields and they're teaching each other how to expand their energy field. They're introducing a whole new energy to each other. And of course, when that happens, it feels really good. And if you have a really enlightening relationship, even if the person leaves you or you stop being connected in the physical, they will have taught you how to connect to an energy that you didn't know how to do before. And that tends to ground you. And then you can have a sexual release into that energy, and it can be somewhat fulfilling. Whereas if you don't have that experience, the energy release is not fulfilling, okay? So many of us need to go and have that experience in order to learn that. And then we can be more detached from clinging to another person to fulfill our energies. Now, I never heard anyone say that. I hope I'm talking about sex as one of those sacred cows that you can get in trouble for. And because so many people have strong opinions about it. But what we've learned, that one of the reasons there's been such a prohibition to sex in spiritual and religious stuff is because by not having sex, you end up not being grounded. And when you're not grounded, other people control you. And there's been a hidden agenda in most religions, many things, to control you, to keep you weak. So if you're weak and you're always seeking, you know, you'll end up tithing every month, somebody's going to have a job, and all of that. So, you know, this is one of the ways to get grounded. And some of you don't need it, but some of you do need it, and they're not going after it. And in which case, you have an area of stuckness because you need the experience in that realm, in that level, to free yourself to get to the next level. And then the other thing is the root chakra. What are the three lower chakras? The heart chakra, the power chakra, the sexual chakra, and the root chakra, okay? The root chakra has to do with survival. And has to do with making money, which can also have to do with sex. Sex can help you feel like you're in survival. It helps you with, how do you do all that? You have to attract things to you. Again, everyone's got their own unique way of figuring this out for themselves. And I would suggest every week, think of an area where you can do an experiment. Experiment on yourself. But when you're doing an experiment, you don't know how it's going to turn out. So don't risk more than you can afford to lose. It's like if you're loaning money to somebody, a lot of times, most of us have experienced loaning money and you don't get paid back. Well, what I decided was, at one point, I said, if I ever loan money to anybody, I can't loan money that's more than I can afford to lose. If I can afford to lose it, I could do it. And if they don't pay it back, I'll just let it go. And but if it's more than I can afford to lose, I won't do it. It's like that in life. If you're doing an experiment in anything, ask yourself, if the experiment doesn't succeed, if it fails, what will happen to me? And if it's really horrible what will happen to you, then don't do it, okay? It's too big an experiment. Do small experiments. Like, you have to figure it out. You have to figure out what your experiment it is. Sometimes we'll do a workshop, and we'll have everybody do an experiment that would be out of their normal characteristic. And then come back the next week and share what happens. Because if you do experiments, you learn. And if you do nothing, you just get what you always got, and nothing changes. And I know how that feels. I know how it feels to get up every day feeling stuck, and nothing's changing, and I want something different. What do? I'm stuck. And so all you do is put out stuckness, and stuckness comes back. All you're doing is putting out unworthiness, and unworthiness comes back. Now, nobody is really worthy or unworthy. Everybody is worthy, I should say. But the thing about it is, these are things that you go in and out of, that when you're feeling unworthy, you put that out. And when you're feeling worthy, you put that out. Like if you're looking for a job, look for a job when you're feeling worthy. If a good experiment is to say, how do I shift this feeling of unworthiness to worthiness. How do I do it? What do I do? And there's something you can do to make that shift. If you sit and do nothing, it probably won't shift. It might be, I mean, for me, I can say that I can make a shift by going to a public coffee shop, sitting down. And I can recognize all this resistance of walking out the door, getting in the car, and driving to the coffee shop. And I've done it enough to know that when I do that, things shift inside me. And if I'm feeling unworthy, it switches to being worthy. You might try that. You might go to the art museum. Do something that cheers you up. You might go to a movie by yourself. Don't worry if no one's there. Do it by yourself and see if it works. Consider it an experiment and say, this worked. It shifted me. Now you have a tool to use in your life. You have to constantly do these things or else you go into inertia. You go into feeling totally stuck. Nothing changes, and you can go for years that way. And then you get sick because the energy's not moving, and, you know, you have to wait for another lifetime to get more chances. So these are things that I have found that work. I've watched other people that have made them work, and that no matter how persistent a pattern is, no matter how hard it seems to get over something, to move through something, that there is a way. There is always a way, and you have to be unrelentless in your willingness to keep searching, to keep experimenting, etc., etc., etc. And the very act of doing those things starts to create more interface between the higher realms because you're creating more randomness. And within a certain level of variability, more randomness in your life creates more chances for synchronicities, for chance meetings, for whatever. You know, it's like I experienced that big time for quite some time in my life when I used to hitchhike, which was the ultimate of randomness. But I didn't just hitchhike. I had my guitar. I would arrive at I wouldn't tell people it was hitchhike because it's I had the wherewithal to do it. Although I didn't know when I started, I did. But it creates a lot of randomness where the universe starts moving differently around you. And it starts, for me, it started to create things around me. And it was a big learning experience for me to experience randomness in that way. For you, maybe randomness might be going to the library or to the art museum or to the coffee shop or taking a walk or driving to a different city. This is a good one. This gets you out of patterns. Go to a surrounding city that's far away and sit in the Starbucks there. It's different than in the city you live in because you don't know anybody. No one knows your patterns. No one knows there she is being depressed again, walking around. And you're free to make it up as you go and just sit there and take the energies in. Have no expectations. Tell the, you know, say to yourself, universe, if I'm supposed to, anything's supposed to happen, I'm open. Go there and call in the light. Go in and say, I'm going to plant columns of light in the city 10 miles away. And go to another one 10 miles away. And another one 10 miles away. Go different directions. And then go home and feel how it feels to be in your house after you've done that. Because, do you know what? Everywhere you go, you're still there. You realize that? You know, you may not realize that, but I realize that. That I can project my energy back into Philadelphia, and I'm really doing it. On these calls, we project our energies to different places and we're really doing it. That means if you go to a coffee shop here, a coffee shop here, a coffee shop here, all around your house in little different cities or even in the same city, you're circling your house with energy, positive energy. You're creating light columns in all those coffee shops. And before you know it, the quality of how you feel in your home will be different. You'll be expanded. You can sit there and think, I'm projecting to all these coffee shops that I've sat in. And suddenly, your home doesn't feel so lonely. And now you've created this expansion of your space for miles around you, and that becomes your home as well as your little house. You're now living in, you know, Terry should let Terry say this because she's seen me do this so many times, and she doesn't do this. What I'm telling you, she's doing it a little better, but oftentimes I'll create a place like this, and she ends up going there because we've anchored the energy where she feels comfortable in that place. Are you there, Jay?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know what I'm talking about?
You better
say yes, or I'm in trouble.
Say a little bit more about it, like to create a place, but like you mean.
Well, in other words, you know, we'll go somewhere, right? Let's suppose we go to do a talk somewhere and we're staying in a motel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, I'll go to a coffee shop and or a restaurant. I'll anchor my energies there. And then later in the day, we'll go together. Sometimes I do this better by myself than with you. And before you know, there's all these waitresses and people saying hello to me. And suddenly you feel comfortable there. And you'll go there by yourself because you anchored your energies. And,
yeah, well, it's quite amazing what you do. It's like I can go to a coffee shop, and it's like I'm not at home there, and maybe, all the people are strangers. And then you go to the coffee shop, and you talk to the waitresses, and then with 10 minutes, you've got a connection. And finding out stuff that it would take me 5 years ago in there to make that connection. It's really amazing.
I mean, what I've watched is I would go to a restaurant or a coffee shop, and then we'd both go, and then you would go by yourself because it became home for you. Like the feeling
right.
that I created triggered to you, where you would never probably end up feeling that comfortable in the place, you end up feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the people that work there, it ends up with a connection, a warm, close connection that I wouldn't have gotten if I'd just been there alone.
Well, what we're actually doing is we're... what I see it is we're extending our feeling of home so the home no longer is limited by the boundaries of our four walls. And particularly if you're in a home and you're living alone and you happen to feel lonely in your home, it's a really good way of expanding your parameters to go triangulate your neighborhood, go to different coffee shops, or restaurants. And, you know, when you go to a restaurant and you buy a meal and you pay for it, you're grounding yourself in that restaurant. You're grounding yourself. And so you're planting your energy there into the earth. And then you go to another one and you're grounding yourself. And then see if you can take in those energies and go home. And suddenly your home is expanded into all those places. It's expanded. It's one of the reasons walking is good. Walking grounds you. Walk around your block. Walk around your neighborhood. Think of yourself as anchoring light as you're taking these walks. And you are. You are doing that. You're expanding yourself. And you're lifting the vibration where you live. If that works for you, that's your experiment. I'll test this and see if it works. If it doesn't work, then dump it and do something else. But I'm giving an example of how to be grounded. And as you do this, and as you ground yourself, suddenly you're more uplifted. And now as you're more uplifted and your energy is higher, you go into that coffee shop and somebody starts talking to you and you meet someone new. And that becomes a job or a relationship or a friend or someone to introduce our work to. But it's like getting unstuck from all those patterns that keep you pulled, contracted. You know, the whole game is how to uncontract yourself. And that's what the game is on these calls, uncontracting ourselves and learning. We do it on the calls. Many of us have that experience of uncontracting ourselves and feeling extended. And now you have to take that and bring it into your life. And there's always, every one of us, including me, has the potential to do more of that. And it's always a constant experiment. If I do this, what will happen? If I do this, how will I feel? If I talk to a stranger, what will happen? Just be careful, because if you're opening up to strangers, be careful, because those of you who have open hearts tend to like be very vulnerable immediately and take somebody in, and that may not be the best thing to do until you test it for a while. Make sure they don't have an agenda. Make sure they don't want anything. You know, one of the hardest things when you're needy is people tend to shy away from you because they're afraid of, how can I say it? Everyone's afraid of getting involved in someone else's problems, okay? Which is not being your brother's keeper, of course. But on the other hand, you can't throw pearls before swine. It's one of the reasons that Team Shift, which we mention every so often, and if any of this is resonating with you, it's one opportunity we provide for people to get connected with each other that have been on our calls on a phone line every day, small groups, where they call in the light, they put their issues on the light, and they get to meet each other. But I've watched in Team Shift how sometimes it works phenomenally, and sometimes it doesn't work. And I've watched, this is part of my experiment. Let me see, this is a good idea. Why does it work sometimes and doesn't work other times? Well, sometimes, I'll give you some examples. Sometimes somebody thinks they know what's good for everyone else, and they're on a little call of five people, and all they're doing is telling everybody what they should do and how they should do it. And the person is not coming from a place where their life is together. And that's a person that's looking for energy from other people. And that person could screw up the whole vibe on the call. Another time it doesn't work is people are begging for sympathy. And they're having a hard time in their life. And all they do is tell everybody, woe is me. And then that's where you get stuck at a lower level. There's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy pulls people into your negativity, and wants as if two people that are in a negative thing together, it makes it better. And it does make it better for a brief instant, okay? But it doesn't stick. It doesn't hold, because after a while, it gets old, and you keep reiterating the same negativity. It's like people that get together and say how bad men are, or how bad the world is, or how bad women are, or whatever, finding fault with everything around them, because it gives them a momentary feeling of superiority to find what's wrong with everything. But it doesn't hold. It doesn't stick. It's just a momentary kind of affinity that's not coming from a high place. And when you, if you really want to make something work, move into it in a neutral place. Don't immediately dump all your problems on everyone else. Call in the light, put things in the light, and learn how to do what we do on these calls, which is to affiliate our higher energies, create a group energy to bring in the energy of these sources and bring them in so that we can have an upliftment in ourselves, which gives us more power to deal with everything else. But if any of you want to try it, just do it as an experiment. It's like Edna is graciously volunteering for a couple of years. She tries to put people together who will get along or will have affinity or going through similar things. That's one of the things is that if you're working through something, the best person to connect with is someone who's working through something similar, but where you learn how to use that interaction to keep moving above what you're working through. And that way, there's an interest in keeping the interaction going. And just send me an email and say you're interested in team shift, and I'll send it to Edna, and you'll end up in a group. And, you know, even if you're shy, you know, it's the very thing. Even if you think nobody's going to like me, try it out. You know, you don't have to, if it doesn't, this is like an experiment. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does work, it may be the best thing you ever did. It may be the thing that helps you graduate this realm. So, and we offer it for free. Why do we offer it for free? Because we're nutcases. One day we'll charge donations for this stuff. But I know that the people going through these heavy things oftentimes are the same people that are having a really hard time making money. Okay? So, let's see here. Was that my email? Lucy said, she was playing Everything You Touch a few times this morning, and then I chose to play it, okay? Thank you, Lucy. And T.J. Hall in England always says a greeting before or just when the call starts. Hello, T.J. What did she say today? She says, my main computer is being repaired. Anyway, hope you and Terry and everyone else are well, and I'll be listening to the call tonight. She's in England, so it's tonight on her mobile. And then we have here, somebody had heard about Marsha. Marsha's always putting things in the light, and she has trouble with her neighbors. And somebody sent Marsha, someone that helped clear her house energy for her. And hi, Marsha. We love you, Marsha. And Marsha said, you sure want to thank this person? You see, what I have learned is it's the small things that build affinity. And I'm not perfect at this, but I try. If somebody sends me an email, sometimes I'm so busy and I read the email. Now, one of the things I have a hard time with is people always are sending me, look at this YouTube, go to this website, blah, 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 blah. I don't have time. It's like, I don't need other, at this point, I don't need other people's affirmation that I'm on the right track. And I know there's a lot of great things out there. But when somebody talks about their life in some way, and I do read it, and I make every effort. And if I haven't ever responded to you, I'm sorry, because I make every effort to give some kind of response. Even if it's like, I read this and I can feel what you're going through. Even that It means of caring. And the slightest little human response, the slightest thank you, means so much to people. I know that. It builds the energy. You know, somebody once said, and I know this is true, this is like another principle, an easy principle. This is something everyone can do. We all have relationships of obligation. In other words, you pay rent, you get an apartment, you have a job, you get paid for every hour you show up. And in a relationship of obligation, in a relationship of obligation, you know, it's a worldly thing. We have to go through life doing those things. But here is something that everyone can do. Watch for opportunities in relationships of obligation to give a little extra, something more than you're obligated to do. Now, this is going to be done very masterfully because you have to do it when the energy is present. I mean, I'll give you an example of something I did this week that I've been thinking about for a long time. And we have a mail center. And I think the lady charges us a certain amount every month, like $15 a month or $12 a month. And, you know, get your mail there. And we get an incredible amount of packages at that mail center. And they have never grumbled. They always handle it really well and really responsibly and carefully. And I was thinking how much they're making per hour because we're their customer. We're probably not a good customer for them in terms of how much work they do and for $12 to $15 a month. But if we're paying somebody $10 an hour for all the packages they handle, we probably end up paying them $40 a month. But the woman never grumbles, never complains, never even, you know, she just assumed that that was her deal and that was her level of obligation. In other words, we pay that much and she's going to do, you know, she's going to accept packages for us. Because that's what she does, and that's what she's agreeing to do. So I went in there last week, and it was just, I had to pick the right moment. And I said, Chris, here's my credit card. Did you take an extra $30 for today? And she said, well, what's that for? And I said, it's a tip. Please take it. You know, you do great service for us. I want you to know that it doesn't go for granted. At first, she didn't want to do it. And then I said, Chris, now do it, do it. It's like gratitude. It's a good energy. And then she did it. And it changed our energy. I came back the next day, and she was just glowing when I walked in. That's an example of how to take a relationship of obligation and do something a little extra, and it turns it into a relationship of grace, or it starts to put grace into the mix. And you got to pick the right moments. You can't just do it all the time, or else you become like one of those people that just thinks, you know, I got to give to charity, or I got to do this, and I got to be good all the time. It has to be the moment where when you do it, there's gratitude. It's like when everything is working, no one thinks you're patronizing them. No one thinks you're going to ask for a favor back if you did something. You're in a job, you might bring a piece of candy to the boss and say, listen, you know, you sit there, I'm so glad you're the boss. You said, you know, I don't show you much appreciation. I got your candy bar today. Or, I don't know, you have to be creative. But don't be dumb, be creative and figure out how you can constantly flow little random acts of kindness to shift and lift the energy around you. And it works. It really works. You're not doing it for other people. You're doing it for yourself, so you can live in a more uplifted environment. Going, triangulating your house and going to coffee shops works. I've done that so many times. I know it works. Will it work for you? I don't know. You may go into coffee shops and get allergic to the smell of coffee and it doesn't work. Taking walks works. It grounds your energy as you're walking. Think of the earth as you're walking. And on that note, it's 11:17, I'm going to do our visualization and our planetary thing. And Terry's going to bring a message in, and we'll finish this call. And thank you all so much for being here. So right now, we see, put our feet flat to the earth, and we see the earth is alive and sending energy up through our floor, up through our feet, up through our legs, up through our groin, our solar plexus, our chest, our neck, our head. Let's feel that energy with the earth. And let's tell the earth we love her. You know, it's good to be friends with the earth. It's good to be friends with these higher sources. You know, we know that in India, and I pick India, there's other countries, there are probably millions of people that are malnourished. They're not eating enough. Some of them are starving to death. We know that. And how many of us think of helping one of those people? We usually don't think it, because the problem is so big that it is like, how many people can you help? Why bother just helping one person? I don't even know them. But if you have an Indian friend whose child is being malnourished in India and he's looking for help, it's really easy to put your hand in your pocket and help. And you realize, as I see it, I may be wrong here, but the Elohim and Ra groups and the earth are all alive. And there's so many billions of people here on this planet. It's like, it's the person that asks, that makes the connection, that gets the attention. If the earth knows you love her and you stay that in the connection without love, and there's an earthquake coming, maybe the earth might say, geez, we better move that earthquake a little bit from Mary's house because we really like Mary. But does the earth make decisions like this? I don't know. But there's been a lot of times when people were praying and there was a fire, and it suddenly hit everyone else's house and missed theirs. Numerous situations like that. There's a guy in our group that was in Oklahoma, probably on the line right now, who had that tornado coming right towards him in the line of path, and he sat and prayed, and the tornado switched direction. So it makes sense. If the earth is aware and alive, if everything is aware, then as you become friends with things energetically, you're in more protection. You can't help but be. And that's one of the advantages of all this. So we go up to the top of our head. And we're in the space maybe a foot above our head. We go through the roof. We go into the space above the roof, and we keep going. We keep going through the sky, through the clouds. We're moving through what's called the veil around our planet, projecting our energy through the veil. And we're moving through space. And we're moving through time. Remember that the universe is all nested. And there, in the highest of truths, there is no time. We move through all our past lifetimes. We move to the point of our original creation. All these things exist simultaneously right now. As we move to our original creation, our original individuation from light into an individualized piece of light that's in the body. And as we move through all these places, we're all doing this together. At that point of our original individuation, we are very innocent. We're pure. And we're gathered around each other. We're all at that point together. And many of you can feel the energy of connection. Try saying hello to each other silently. Let's tell everyone on this line and everyone that's tuning in and everyone listening to the replays and everyone on the internet, let's just hold the energy of I love you. Some of you feel the energy of that. Let's now, we have a group energy. We're going to invite our sources into this group energy. To become one with us and we with them. And at this moment, let us hold in our consciousness the thoughts of those things that we would like to shift. Always for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. Is it our finances? Is it our health? Is it a relationship? Is it the planet? Like dropping your intention into this great pool of water and see the ripples go out from where it drops into the universe and into manifestation for the highest good of all concerned. And for the people that went on our healing list, and you don't have to do this to make it work, but for some people, it works. You know, this, you know, we're talking about grounding. Putting something on a healing list is a grounding action. Writing things on a piece of paper, like things that you'd like to happen in your life, is a way of grounding what you're doing. It makes it, it can increase the power of it. Again, you can try it. Some people say, I'm going to write it every day. I need a job, or I need a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or I need whatever you need. Needs are not bad. Needs are what drive us to find things in life. And we have Lise here putting her health in her light. Let's put Lise into total health and healing and reduction of pain. And we have Anna in Burbank. She puts her finances in the light. And discernment to recognize and take advantage of synchronicities. Michael in San Diego puts his cat Sam in the light. Sam was a good friend of ours, coming into our calls many times, meowing in the background. This just holds a space for Sam's healing. And then we have Anna in Burbank again, sending a love light to the people in Colorado who were affected by the flooding, who are still suffering, to the Japanese people, and to the stopping of radiation in Japan. Then we have Barbara in Twin Falls, putting her brother Bill in the light, and praying that his Medicaid comes through and his other issues in the nursing home be healed. And then we have here Larry in Memphis, and we put Larry for his lymphoma cancer in the light. He's taking his last chemo treatment this week. And if I didn't read you, just keep it in your consciousness silently right now. And we're going to move over to a message through Terry from our sources. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light, surround and protect each person here. And any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And I'm going to turn over to Terry. I want to make sure she's unmuted, so say a word before you start.
Yes.
Okay, we hear you. Thank you.
We greet you in the love light of the One Infinite Creator. We are here with each and every one of you. And we take a moment and we connect. We are here and available to you, each and every one who wishes the connection. Wherever you are and whenever you listen or read a transcript. And we are aware and connecting also with everyone on BBS Radio. It is our profound thanks. It is an honor to be able to make this connection. It is a sacred moment in time, and we are aware of what each and every one of you have put in the light, whether it is on the healing list, whether it was read, or whether it was not. We send love light to Boston. We send love light to Sam. We send love light to Jim Cole. Love light to Marsha. And we send love light to the area where Marsha lives for the calmness and the peace to magnify that it is already there, but in the background. We send love light to Bill that his needs may be met. We send love light to Carla and Jim McCartney. And we take a moment. And we thank Carla for the profound connection that she provides in the third entity realm. And the connection she has made and she provides to others. And has put up on her website, Hello Research, for all to read for free. And to each and every person, again, who has put anything in the light. To Alan Ferguson for his cessation and getting under control of his tendonitis. For all who are having a financial concern and situation, that there may be a reversal. That there may be a grounding wherein their needs begin to be provided for in a greater manner. For parity, for healing, for peace. For all of the people who were in the woods in Colorado, that they may become grounded again and move through that. For the people of Fukushima area, that the land may again become fertile. For the ocean, for the Pacific Ocean around Fukushima, and into the deep ocean. For the cessation of detrimental radioactivity. For each and every person who is connected. Provides, it brings us joy to make the connection and to begin to focus our intention for help and for your financial needs to be met and for help to return into your life. And you are the master of this, and we are merely lending a hand. And we incorporate grace. We bring grace in to help unlock stuck situations so one can move through those situations where it seems almost impossible to move through. And we thank each and every person who is volunteering and helping. And we thank BBS Radio. We are with you. And we do not leave, although we close this direct communication. We are still there. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We have the ability to create a group energy. A group energy is the beginning, I would guess, of a group soul. And the reason there's such a thing as a group soul is because at the higher levels, the individual entities discover that by coming together in groups, they had much more power to impact the lower realms than trying to do it as individuals from the other realms. Although there are individuals, souls that are service to others, I know exist, and some of them may be paying attention to us now. And we greet them and thank them for being here. And group souls have more power because they can make their energies coalesce, combine, and do things with that group energy that are more effective or powerful than an individual. But they don't stay gone together, as I understand it. They come together, they separate, they come together. They're a working community, just as we are. So, we're learning how to come together and create a group energy in this realm. And because we create a group energy in this realm, we create a bridge, an energetic bridge, a basket. There's a saying that goes, you can't get bigger than your basket can hold. We're creating a basket for the energies of the higher realms. And then we can coordinate with our group intentions for planetary healing and personal healing and shifts in our life. We need each other to do this. So we take our group energy, and our group energy is co-creating with the energy of Ra, the Elohim, I would speculate. And we take this energy and we surround our planet with it. And we have access to almost unlimited resources. So we can expand, surround our planet. And we look for all those places on our planet where there are energetic pathways. We think of all those beings, those billions of beings on planet Earth that are reaching for higher realms, that are wanderers here, that are highly intended, that are praying for intervention. And we reach down and without violating free will, this energy, we ask this energy to surround them. To connect with them. If that be their wish. That their intentions be connected to our intentions when they're of the same caliber. And they help anchor this energy on our planet of what some people call the new Earth, the fourth dimension paradigm. And we vibrate it through the ethers, through the portals, through the energies. And where there's darkness, we flow around it. It's not an obstacle. And we surround our planet with the idea of compassion. All those beings on our planet who are compassionate, who have learned to recognize themselves and others, we see a web around our planet holding these energies. And we surround our planet with the idea, the concept of peace. that all those ancient hostilities, all those areas where war is used as a control mechanism to impose power on someone else, we ask, without violating free will, for the lifting of those energies on our entire planet. We send this light into the oceans, to touching the dolphins and the whales. And we send this light through the surface of the earth into her depths. For care, for appreciation, for connection. And that we work with all the earthquake faults on our planet with Mother Earth, who we know has to have releases, which are going to come through as earthquakes. And we send this light around all those tectonic plates, and in particular, as they asked us to do, the Ring of Fire. It's one of the reasons we do the Ring of Fire, because they asked us to do it, because they said it was so volatile, and they said we were helping. We see the land masses surrounding the Pacific Ocean, and we just see like a laser beam of light cutting up the coastline of South America. The western coast. And we're going through the countries of Chile, Peru, Ecuador, and Colombia. Go to Central America. And keep in mind, we are projecting our energies through the surface of the Earth into the Earth, and there are tectonic plates. There are ruptures of Earth and plates, that is where earthquakes start. And we send our energy surrounding these plates as we go up the coast to Panama, to Costa Rica, to Nicaragua, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Mexico, and then to Baja California, and then to the United States, the western coast of the United States, Chula Vista, San Diego, Orange County, Los Angeles. We hold on each face and contemplate the energy moving down. Up the coast to Malibu. And Ventura. Santa Barbara and up the coast line to San Francisco. And the environs around San Francisco. Sausalito, Mill Valley, and continuing northward up to Oregon. And Portland. Mount Hood, and up the map into the state of Washington, along the coast, Olympia, Seattle.
Washington. Along with
those. Wait a second. We're going to meet that person. There we go. Up to Vancouver. Up north through Canada. Across Alaska. Southern coast of Alaska, the eastern coast of Russia. We're taking more time this week. I gave more time for this session. We're almost run out. To China, to Singapore, Hong Kong, Japan. Philippines. Australia, New Zealand, and Hong Kong. And we go to St. Louis and we send a big beam of light down to the New Madrid fault line, the Mid-Atlantic fault line, and we just surround our planet. And again, every earthquake potential, we just ask to find those places and balance it. And that any earthquakes, tsunamis should be away from land masses and smaller releases. We ask very quickly for interventions, that no atomic weapons be allowed to go off, that any frequencies of the negative that are in the air from chemtrails, from HARP, whatever, we ask for their balance and for their counterbalance so they don't impact us. We ask that each of you have the courage and the strength to hold the space in this time, as many of you incarnated here, just to do that, the wanderers. And I'm so glad we discovered each other and that we have this opportunity to work together to create this movement of energy on our planet, which is so important. And it is 11:57. I'm going to count down. We're going to bring it back into our physical location. thanking everyone, thanking the volunteers, thanking Terry Hives in particular, Gary.
Vin, your one line dropped out. Go to you, Yuma. All right. Are you there, Vin? Vin dropped out. Thank you all for being here. I want to mention Carla Ruckert's Law of One website. It's llresearch.org. O-R-G. Welcome back, Vin.
I'm on. Yeah, I just picked up the other phone. My phone dropped out. We got to the very end, right?
Yep. We're good to go.
So, just thanking everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow, okay? And